Hello friends, this is the Yarra River Keeper podcast, recording on the unceded lands of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people of the Kulin Nation. I'm Katrina. In this four-part series, we will bring you stories of the friends groups that care for and protect the Gardiners Creek Kuyongkuch catchment. In this second episode, we'll hear from Megan Short and her delightful stories of what a group of like-minded people can achieve together. I'm here with Megan Short from the Blackburn Creeklands Advisory Committee, and we're surrounded by lots of beautiful birds, and I'm watching these gorgeous parrots flitter about in the trees and squawking, and it's a beautiful scene. I wish you were able to see it with us. We're here to talk about different members of the Kuyongkuch Alliance, and Megan, let us know a bit about your involvement with the Kuyongkuch from your group.
Well, I'm a committee member of the Blackburn Creeklands Advisory Committee, and that's a group of volunteers that are sort of appointed by Whitehorse Council to advise and help with the management of the Blackburn Creeklands, which is this lovely bushland setting. Everything that we plant now is indigenous. The Blackburn Creeklands is the most amazing stretch between Blackburn Road and Middleburgh Road. And it's less than 2 kilometres as the crow flies. Of course, there's lots of walks through it and there's bridges, because what runs through the middle of the Blackburn Creeklands is one of the tributaries of Kuyongkuch, or the Gardiners Creek. And so that's why I'm involved in the Kuyongkuch Alliance, because, you know, I belong to one of the many groups that volunteer and do planting and weeding and run activities up and down the Kuyongkuch catchment.
Just before we were meeting, I glimpsed at this person who was holding this litter picker, and is that Megan? Megan, even when she's not running things, she does her little bit picking up litter here and there, which we could all learn to do. I try and do it, sometimes I don't, but every little bit counts. So,
well, fortunately we have a number of community members of the community. They're not on our committee. They actually pick up litter as part of their daily walk. This park is amazingly clean of litter most of the time. So, I mean, I got involved an awful long time ago, which is going to age me, in 1980. We moved into the area and discovered that there was a park up near Blackburn Road. There was some parkland down near Middleburgh Road, but there's a section in between that was owned by what was called Melbourne MMBW, which is now Melbourne Water, and it was zoned residential, and they wanted to sell it. It wasn't very attractive looking land because it was all fencing and horse adjustment, and me being a little bit timid around horses, I wasn't very keen to climb fences and walk through along the creek. So it was hard to walk along the creek in those days. But because Melbourne Water wanted to sell the land, they were getting no interest from council in buying it. Many of us in the local community decided we needed to take action. And as a result of that, I'm still involved today in a park that now includes that middle section and therefore is this lovely long linear park, you know, encompassing both sides of the creek. And of course, it was then that I discovered how great it was being part of a community of like-minded people, you know, that were keen on restoring what were horse adjustment paddocks, removing the blackberry and the gorse and pulling down all that horrible wire fencing and doing some replanting and, you know, that it sort of went from there, and I'm still involved.
I'm very glad that you did that, because if you hadn't told me this story, I would have just assumed that it always been these beautiful indigenous native creek land and riverbank, because I actually lived in the area and I've enjoyed many walks and the creeks and I had no idea that
it once didn't look like this. It did not. No. We started planting even before the council had purchased the land. The Blackburn and District Tree Preservation Society gave us a whole lot of plants. This was the local community that got together, and we did some planting to sort of try and say to council, look, you know, the community's prepared to do something if only you'd buy this land and rezone it from residential. You know, there were housing blocks. I think most people would have no idea. You can actually shock people by showing them.
You've shocked me. You've blown my mind.
And of course, the horses They ring bark the eucalypts, the horses that were here, and they also, also the creek edges. You know, there was no vegetation even on the creek edges, so that, of course, you had extra erosion and there's no vegetation to hold it. We've had some fantastic committee members over the past, and they're responsible for so much. And one of them was a young guy, Jeff, who was studying at Burnley, and he and his mates propagated 3,000 plants, and we had a working bee. The whole community came out and we planted that many in a day.
That is amazing, and it fills me with so much hope that a space that was once open and paddocked in 30 years, you could trick a young person and they would assume that it's always been native. You can see it in a lifetime, and you did that, and a whole committee together, we can do such great, amazing things in a lifetime.
Like an example, there's a, we call a billabong there, and it is an old billabong, but it was filled with old car bodies, and it had been used for a bit of a dump, you know, it's a hole in the ground, so people filled it. So that was something we lobbied council long and hard over many years to get that cleaned up and restored. And in actual fact, one of our former members, Alan, from the committee, had this brilliant idea of getting some of the water, instead of the storm water going straight through to the creek, to come some of the water to come via
The billabong.
And so this is lovely now because, it, you know, it doesn't have water. It's ephemeral water. It's not all year round. But, of course, it's now been beautifully planted up. There are no car bodies in there anymore or any rubbish. And, of course, you know, it's great to hear in the frogs croaking and all that sort of thing. And the water, you know, if too much water gets in, it there's a system where it flows through into the creek again. But, you know, so things like that have been one of the ways in which the advisory committee has been able to work with council. Often it takes a while, you know, of negotiation of what's going to, you know, because the council's got issues to work through themselves. But, you know, you get there in the end, and it's great for the council because they've got this lovely resort. In COVID, it was amazing. You've no idea the usage of this parkland. And then when picnics are allowed, that was one of the best scenes. When picnics, you know, we could meet just outside this whole area here that we're looking at now, this lovely green oval area, and underneath the oak tree and everything were picnics everywhere in the weekend.
That would have
been gorgeous. It was lovely to see.
I think we need to bring picnics back, even though restaurants and bars are open. Picnics are very sweet and cute and quaint, and it just brings you back, makes you really present with the company that you're in, and makes you appreciate the effort that goes into making the food and the company you share with others, and not just people, but the company of the trees and the animals and all the work.
But I like the fact that this is really a corridor of wildlife and biodiversity through, you know, and this is the whole brilliant thing about all of the friends groups getting together along the Kuya, you know, as part of the Kuya and Coote Alliance, is to try and encourage more of that, to develop more vegetation and to, you know,
like connecting.
So you've got these fingers of biodiversity, fingers of wildlife and all the bird life, to bring that closer to everybody, particularly now when, as you know, we're all aware, people are living closer together, there's less greenery around your house, you know, maybe, and you might live in, you know, high-rise apartments and so on, but to have access to
to our
wildlife and green spaces is just it's absolutely essential, I think, for everybody's mental and physical health. You know? The walk's good for your physical, and looking around in the greenery and taking in the fresh air is good for your mental health.
It's something I could definitely improve on. Walking around in the green spaces. I do my gardening at home, but getting out and seeing the different kinds of birds, because backyard birds are very different to birds that you see out on the creek.
Depends what sort of a backyard you've got, or back garden you've got.
Oh, that's true,
I mean, if you've got the bird tree, you know, if you've got bottle brushes and eucalypts and things like that in your garden, well, you're going to have your you're going to get your parrots and things coming in. I mean, this is why we've got so many parrots, is all these, as you can see here, these really big eucalypts, these what you might call over-mature eucalypts that are so old that they've got nesting hollows.
Because
all the parrots and the kookaburras. We've got lots of kookaburras. Uh-huh. They nest in hollows, and so they need to have big old trees.
Mm.
So this is what concerns us, our committee, is that we need to be planting eucalypts for the future, not perhaps our great-grandchildren, you know, not even our grandchildren, because it takes a long time for a tree to get big enough to have the hollows.
Mm.
But that has been one of the reasons why we've actually had so many parrot species through, or why we do have.
Yeah.
But of course, each year you lose a few trees and they just get too old and fall down, or we need to keep planting.
Yeah, it's amazing that you are thinking so far ahead that you're planting trees for your great-grandchildren to enjoy, so your great-grandchildren can
have bird life.
Can enjoy the bird life. You're creating habitat for many years in advance. Yeah. That's
well, we do that by, you know, our committee's quite an active committee. It's a reflection that the community's interested, and we've got we've got a website, you know, and a monthly newsletter, and got about 250 people that are signed up to get our
newsletter.
But we run that. We have a working bee, a smallish working bee, every Thursday. That's every week, and then we have a number of community working bees on Sundays, and that's really good. We had one a couple of weeks ago, and we got and quite a number of new faces, which is always good. And a couple of them are now coming on Thursdays as well.
Oh, great!
So terrific.
And what do your working bees involve? For people who don't know.
Well, a bit of chat.
Yeah, of course. Well, that's part of being part of a community.
It's absolutely fabulous. Yeah. Yes, you can always catch up on, you know, a bit of the local gossip and everything. No, but what we've been doing mainly, like for example, at our last community working bee, we had a patch that was looking very bare, and it's adjacent to a pathway. So people were weeding an area. It was quite easy weeding. And then after that had been weeded, those that were strong enough with the pick were digging the holes, and then everybody was planting.
Yep.
And then we had mulch. We had a load of mulch. So we had some people filling buckets of mulch and others spreading the mulch around and hammering a few stakes in to make sure. And we've even got a little sign saying, "We've just planted here, you know. Do you want to join us next week?"
Yeah, that sounds really nice.
So, you know, we did the whole, it was lovely because people could really get that sense of satisfaction.
Mm.
They not only weeded an area, but they'd actually then planted it up and then mulch tucked it in. And, of course, you water the plants in as well. Yeah, so it was really good. And if you walk along there, you'll see the little sign saying, "We've just planted here."
Okay, I might just have a little walk because I'm really keen to have a look.
Yeah.
I'll adjust my schedule to make it work.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Got to get your priorities right.
I was like, you've got to enjoy. Yeah, and I drove all this way, so I figured I may as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen the cormorants, the pied cormorants.
Ah, yeah.
They eat the yabbies. There's a lot of yabbies in the creek, and I think they like to get the yabbies.
Yeah.
And also the racali, you know, the water rat.
Yeah,
we have that along the creek here too. I haven't actually seen one, but everybody else has. But anyhow, I'm just obviously don't walk at the right times of day or something like that.
I remember when I walked along, I wanted to see a platypus, but I knew it's like too populated for a platypus.
Yes, that's right. Well, that is the dream. I know, you know, that would be you could say an aspirational dream that eventually you'd have the water clean enough and the wild and the water, you know, the enough food in
and
the banks sufficiently undisturbed, and of course you'd have to have a situation where no dogs or anything were in the creek or anything like that to actually
have a platypus.
I think it might be a pipe dream, but why not be we all of us along the creek, all along the Kuyongkut and the tributaries are going to aspire to
have
a really high aim. Exactly. I don't know whether you've seen our website. Anybody that was interested in finding out more about the Blackburn Creeklands would be well worth a look. It's the most fantastic. We're very, very fortunate to have. We've got so many skilled people on our committee, and so many skilled people, you know, that have been on our committee in the past.
Yeah.
That have all contributed amazingly to making this place what it is. But one of our current very skilled does the most amazing website.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly we've got all about the past history, you know, even the original handwritten notes from the Blackburn Creek Conservation Group, which was what we what was the original action group to get the council to buy the land. And so the website's well worth a look. And if people then wanted to get the monthly newsletter, there's an email address, you fill out the boxes on the website. Say, I'd like to join up.
Yeah.
Then if you moved out of the area, you can always unsubscribe. Yeah, but that's the way people can easily get involved, because people, once they become signed up as a friend, doesn't cost anything. They just get the monthly newsletter, which has always got lots of wonderful information. I always learn something reading it. Then when there are bird surveys, we have two bird surveys a year. And when the working bees are, so it's a way people can then be involved. And some people might just come to working bee once every 3 years, or they might just come to a bird survey once a year or something like that. But all of that's great. And,
they might
find that they retire. They might be living in the area. They might have been working too busy, and then they retire, and then they've got a bit of time. And they think, oh, I remember I've always been interested in, Greek lands, and they come and be involved.
Yeah. It sounds very amazing, and I wish I still lived in the area so I could maybe one day, or I'll come just once a year for like one of those community plantings.
Yeah, you sign up as a friend, and then you're here, and then you can pick what you come to.
Yeah.
Bird survey's pretty good, because we've got lots of tawny frogmouths through.
Yeah.
You've got to go on a bird survey. They're so hard to pick in the daytime when they're not booping. And,
I did live in the area, I remember seeing one on my fence post, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's an owl.
Last bird survey we saw nine.
Wow.
Nine of them. Goodly number through the park.
Well, thank you so much, Megan, for telling us all the fantastic stories of the past. And also
keep going.
The present. I think we'll leave a little bit for the people to come and join.
I think that's a good idea.
They need to come and join to hear the stories in person. And also, they need to come in person to have the beautiful trees on their eyeballs, because right now the sun is shining through the leaves. And there's the green leaves and the autumn leaves, and they're all the different colours, and the birds are eating things on the grass. People need to come and enjoy this place in person. Thanks very much, Megan. And
good to chat.
Yeah.